You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
All right, yeah, we're here on 90.1 KPFT Houston with Live Free, Think Free. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited about the show. We got a lot of good stuff to get into and to talk about. Man, I'm doing good. It's been raining in Houston, so that's well welcomed. I know some people makes a commute difficult, but I know all the plants and the critters are happy, and it looks a lot greener around here. The sky's kind of blue this afternoon, and I've been doing good. I hope you've been doing well as well, and hope all our listeners are doing good, because we're going to take you all on a roller coaster of stories and such. And I just want to hit one thing real quick, Derek. And I just want to say to those people that appreciate us speaking about these stories, realize that we're speaking about them on the Mighty 90.1 FM, 100,000 watts of power. They can hear us from Galveston Bay all the way up to Lake Livingston. I mean, that's more than just Houston. And Houston's the fourth largest city in the empire. So if you think these stories are important, now's the time to contribute. Contribute in the name of Live Free, Think Free. Go to kpft.org. There's a big red donate button. Okay? If you think, you know, we deserve to be on with this time talking about these things, if you enjoy the music, then now's the time. We need your support. KPFT needs your support. We're transitioning to a new building. It's going to be exciting. We're going to have new studios in the new guests in the studios. We've had everything from presidential candidates, sheriff's candidates, platinum musicians, local musicians, artists, activists, all kinds of people. So we want that for this show. We want it for KPFT. So if you want that, contribute. You know, if you can, contribute. You know, any amount keeps us going. We've been doing this for 10 years, and KPFT's been doing it for 50 plus. So we're proud to be featured there, and Derek will tell you all the other places we are. And if you want to support us, we definitely want you to check out thehoustonfreethinkers.com. That's where you can link up with all our stories. But we also appreciate everybody following us on the diversity of social platforms that we're on, commenting, sharing, because that's how we reach more people with our ideas, with the ideas you have. We love shouting out the comments we get. We love the taking the phone calls and the suggestions. So thank you, everyone who can hear my voice, for joining in the dialogue. We're going to get to some new music. If you enjoy the music, we want you to send us your music or the musicians you think we should play. You can send it to visionarynoise@gmail.com. Hey, Derek, talk to me about those social platforms they could be paying attention to this Live Free, Think Free on.
Yeah, well, first I want to just pick up where you were saying there. If everybody goes over to kpft.org, of course, you can sign up for their newsletter. You can contribute to the station in the name of our show, as Micah was saying. But I also do want to mention that you'll see these last couple updates on the blog, the station updates. You see construction progress. This one shows there's construction progress at the new building. For those who don't know, we used to do this show in person at the studio. And then, of course, everything got shut down with COVID. And after that, it was, you know, realized that the building itself was not really safe to continue operating in. And so we've all been recording remotely, of course, the last couple of years, but that's coming to an end very soon for most people. And they'll be moving into a building off Caroline Street in Houston. And so the latest post just shows, you know, the volunteers coming in and helping move a lot of stuff, including CDs and all kinds of different equipment from KPFT's different storages to the actual building. So shout out to everybody who contributed to that and who's coming together to help make that happen. And yeah, as Micah said, you can find us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Our show, Live Free, Think Free, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on the Conscious Resistance Network at theconsciousresistance.com. But that also goes out to Odyssey. We're live on YouTube right now, Facebook, Rockfin, and of course podcasting platforms everywhere. So if you search Live Free, Think Free, you search the Conscious Resistance, or if you go to kpft.org, you'll be able to find our show and much more. And I also want to mention that a big shout out again to John Bush, who is our previous donator to the station in the name of our show earlier this month. And John is with livefree.academy. You can find him there. And this month he's working with our show. They are doing this upcoming, actually next week, September 3rd, doing a homesteading on a budget workshop. It's a full day virtual event, so you can watch from comfort of your own home with several different people. You might not recognize their names, but they're experts in their fields of permaculture and especially, you know, off-grid kind of living and how to approach that again with somebody from a budget limited amount of funds perspective. And so you can sign up and check that out at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. When you go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com and you click on this banner there, it also is another way to support our show. So if you end up deciding to get the budget workshop and go ahead and purchase that, that supports our show as well. So multiple ways to support us and KPFT, and we appreciate that. But Micah, before we get into the news, you want to hit up a show? I know you know something going on. There's something happening in Houston.
Oh, yes. You were talking about September 3rd. This is another thing occurring September 3rd. This is Melt Fest. It's a recurring event here in Houston. And quite a few acts will be there. Ganesha, who you've heard on the show here, as well as, Kim Jong-un, who will be playing some from later today. And, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting show. It's got CeCe and the Jewel Thieves. If we have time, maybe we can get into theirs. I don't know. I did want to take the moment. We're talking about them. It's got our good friends, El Jumbotron, who we've played on here. It's got Trash Cat, Artificial Fun, Your Disorder, and the Half Pipes and more. And this goes out to the Half Pipes. Man, I checked them out because of the poster here. And this is just some honest talking about music for a minute. I checked them out. I'm exploring some music here. I haven't heard of these bands, but the ones I have, I like what I hear, and they seem like good people, so I'm checking out the others. And, you know, I wanted to play some here on the FM radio, but some of them had such good music. But guess what? I couldn't. They didn't have one of those songs that didn't have a word that the Alphabet Soup FCC tells me can't be in a song, that I had to read these words, and now they stand out every time I hear them, and the FCC won't let us play music with them. So I'm really sorry to the Half Pipes because I dug their music. There's two songs. They're a fresh band out of Houston. There was another band there that I thought was really interesting. Yeah, it was the Half Pipes. They've got some they got a little interesting video. They got some short songs, and they got a really interesting sound that got my blood moving, you know? So I'm really sad I can't play them. So keep that in mind if you're a band that wants to get play, you know, on the radio. Maybe not all your songs ought to be FCC compliant, but if you give us one or make it really obvious that the profanity's right here, maybe we can bleep it out. I know that it really made me sad because I went through a lot of songs to be able to play something from this show. And I know the band The Fails, they made us that Mr. Clean version, as they called it, of Mr. Green. And it made us very happy because we got to play essentially an anti-drug war song on FM radio kind of repetitively for a while. And so thanks to them. And I'm sorry about the FCC because it gets in the way of artistic clarity at times. But hey, there's more than that. So thanks for that moment. And yeah, let's keep going, Derek.
All right, let's continue. Let's jump forward. So I have one just real brief thing I want to say. Again, you're listening to Live Free, Think Free here on 90.1 KPFT Houston. Before we get too deep into some of the topics we're going to cover, Micah, because I know I've got two stories that we're going to do later, which I think are going to be a trend that we're going to probably keep seeing in the coming months and years, which is here's an example of somebody claiming one thing in the past, and here's them now claiming completely opposite. Now, you could argue, as we will talk about in a bit, that science shifts and science changes as it does, but it's just funny to see some people who are so, you know, ardent supporters of certain policies now coming back and saying, hey, wait, maybe those things weren't as good as we thought they were. So we're going to get into all that.
That's the problem with being dogmatic on your position and not open to dialogue or examining the facts and the presumptions again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I want to say before we get into all that, just a lighter story, something that's a little simpler and maybe interesting for those living in Houston. Even if not, maybe not. Maybe it'd be a cool thing to check out. I just came across this and I wanted to share this. It's from Houston Public Media talking about, and from the Texas Standard specifically, talking about this new TV show called Mo, just simply M-O. The article is titled Houston Oozes Through the Screen in Mo Ammer's New Netflix Series. Mo Ammer is a actor and comedian who grew up in Houston, and he plays a version of himself in this 8-episode series, which is now on Netflix. And basically it tells a similar story to his own life of being Palestinian, in a decades-long struggle for citizenship, having a working visa, struggling to find, or without a work visa, struggling to find lawful work, and just all the different things he gets into and kind of life struggles. But the whole thing is like shot in Houston, specifically in Houston in the A-Leaf area. So a lot of what you see there might be kind of familiar to some people who live in Houston, and that's always cool. But also, apparently, it's actually a good show. So I just wanted to mention that because, you know, Houston and where we're broadcasting from. And to support another Houstonian, really. I mean, because that's also not just like, hey, here's somebody's story, but this is his apparently he has several comedy specials that you can find on Netflix as well. Mo Ammer does. And now he's decided to start directing and producing and is doing this series, which is, you know, basically about his life. So I thought that was kind of cool. And
yeah, you definitely. It's definitely nice to be able to talk about, you know, you're talking about him being a Houstonian, community stories on community radio, community stories where someone, you know, I guess from our perspective, made the big time, right? They got this thing on Netflix. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, people take inspiration from it and enjoy the show, see aspects of Houston and, you know, in that perspective. And I definitely see what you're saying there. And I'm glad that you shared that with us. We got a lot of other Houston news to get into, though.
Yeah, I do. I got one right here, and I think you've got the other side of it. I've got one side of it, and you've got the other side of it. So this one has to do with Houston City Council, once again, approving quite a bit of money here. This is, it seems like it's somewhat regular these days, Micah, that these numbers of approval that with police budgets and city council budgets are just getting bigger and bigger in the, you know, the order of magnitude. And this situation now, Houston City Council this week approving an $18.6 million budget for housing development for the homeless. This new housing complex is in Midtown, was originally supposed to be voted on last week, but it was delayed by council members who were against it. But they voted again this Wednesday, and they approved it for $18.6 million for a new permanent supportive housing development for the homeless. And again, last week it was delayed because several council members were opposed to the NHP Foundation for mismanagement and other properties in Houston's Fifth Ward. And Mayor Sylvester Turner said that he agreed there had been some problems and that the council members made some valid points. He said, quote, "I did not disagree with the comments that were made. The way Clem Manor in Fifth Ward has been managed and handled has been horrific. No tenant should be living in substandard conditions. This 149 housing unit will be located at 3300 Caroline Street in Midtown, just a block away from Houston Community College main campus. And the city and the county are working collaboratively on the project. And the county previously voted to put in $10 million. So yeah, it's housing for the homeless. I don't know if they have or if you've seen from the story you got, Micah, besides like housing, I mean, is this just, they're literally just housing people for free, or is this like a part of a program, you know, getting people off the streets, they get housed first period of time, helping them get work and then they move on or something to that. I've seen that in some cities. Do you know anything specific about this housing project, Micah?
Honestly, I don't know that much about it. It kind of snuck up on my radar quickly. And as you said, the amounts kind of caught my attention as well. I assume, like they do with like some of the veterans ones they have, I assume that they have at least outreach or a way to work with places that have those programs. I mean, I would assume so. I don't know. And we'll probably dig into this deeper. But as you said, you know, there were council members that had some resistance to this. And another thing that you brought up in this story that I thought was interesting is how Mayor Turner said he didn't disagree with anything that was said by the people who were against it in, you know, any of the comments they made, but that they just had to go ahead anyway. Was that what it was? I mean,
I'm not sure what he didn't really kind of say why he thought it was still worth going forward, but I found this part too. One of the council members, Letitia Plummer, she's one of the people who was not in favor of working with this developer, NHP Foundation, last week, and she still remained this week against it because she was saying, hey, it's not just Clem Manor in Fifth Ward that's doing this. There's several other developments that are struggling that are owned by the same company, but they're just not as vocal. She says, quote, "Not only is it Clem Manor that's the only focus, but there's approximately 22 other apartment complexes on the same guidelines. This is just not enough. This is just that one. This is just Clem. What about all the other ones?" And it said Councilmember Edward Pollard also provided quotes from people that spoke during the city council's public session about the conditions living there. He said people said they were living in horrible conditions and tired of promises being made with no action. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like the company they're giving $18 million has that great of a record in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing. And that's kind of why I was asking the question about why did the mayor say we had to go ahead with it? I mean, I understand that other companies have problems too. And maybe it comes just from you know, the little bit that I did read in it. And what I had that, like you said, the other side of it there. That came out that said Houston residents were urging city council to withhold money on this project. The critics, as you mentioned, said that the developer, NHP Foundation, had proven itself a bad actor by allowing the Clem Manor apartments in Fifth Ward, where residents have dealt with lengthy power outages, sewage backups, I mean, come on, sewage backups, and pest infestations, to fall into disrepair. So, you know, they got all that going and then falling into disrepair. It turns out this Fifth Ward resident, Dolores Magruder, who had been there for 25 years under its prior owners, said she hadn't seen any improvements since NHP took over back in 2014. The face has changed, but the attitude and disrespect for residents never has. They're all talking about homelessness, but if you live at Clem Manor, you feel like you're homeless. And I think, you know, that's something we see quite often where, you know, the faces change, you know, to protect the innocent, the names change. But the same system goes on. And I think that's what she's saying that they're experiencing. And I think the concern is that's what people will experience, you know, at the tune of $19 million or whatever it was. While, you know, professing to care about individuals and people and their living conditions.
And also, I feel like it's just another big big cost for the taxpayer. And it's done in this way, which I know the mayor is going to, you know, throw this on his record and tout this as like another win for equity or, you know, from helping the poor people and these things. And it may be a genuine effort, you know, on some people's parts involved in this. But I think that overall, like there's clearly, as you were just saying, and as some of the council members were sharing, some people who have legit concerns about this company, their past, their history, and even their present right now. These aren't just things like, hey, 10 years ago, they had a complex and there was some bad things going on. It's like, hey, there's people who are like, I'm living in the complex managed by this company right now. And I feel like I'm poor. I feel like I'm homeless already, you know, because of my,
you know, I mean, most people don't want sewage and infestations and complete disrepair. I mean, it's just the fact. there was a, I don't know.
Well, let's go to the next story. I got your next one pulled up. You had one about it's just an update, I guess, on the situation because they want us to know what's going on. The monkeypox update. Yeah. Apparently, we've got our first inmate.
Yeah, an inmate has it. They put him in quarantine. I mean, that's about it. You know, I don't know how far we want to go in there. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to continue to advance the skepticism or the, you know, just excitement over monkeypox. So, yeah, if you want to get in that story, fine. But, you know, I think that says enough. They identified an inmate as having monkeypox and they've quarantined them now. Everybody else in the prison hits monkeypox by next week, we'll be talking about it again. I hope they don't.
It's really interesting to just see how that whole thing is developing because, you know, we're still at a point where it's being talked about, it's being discussed, but it doesn't seem like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you hear people talking about monkeypox?
I don't hear anybody hear monkeypox vaccines in my vicinity. And I traverse many different demographics here in the Houston area and nobody once has even brought it up. I think I've heard it more on our show than I've heard it in any conversations. And I did want to say the one thing is they make it like, oh, let's pass this funding for the housing project for the homeless. And that it sounds great and all that. And we went into that. But the last thought I had on it was I think they had 5 city council people against it. And they were like diverse. They call it almost like bipartisan, right? There are diverse views against it for kind of different reasons. So I do want to mention that in closing, more or less, that here it's happened again. A group of people went and got something done, got $19, $20 million for their pet cause, And even though five of the council people brought up serious concerns about it, it went ahead. And this is what happens. And then tomorrow, another thing will happen. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And I don't know. It's just dizzying.
Dizzying is one way to describe it. Guys, you're listening to Live Free, Think Free here on 90.1 KPFT Houston. And we do this also on the Conscious Resistance. Find us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com for our archives. You can find us on Spotify, everywhere else. We've been doing this for 10 years plus. Got a couple more stories we're going to cover before we hit some music for today. I know we got one coming from Kim Jong-un coming up. But this one I wanted to hit is part of the couple of stories I got to contribute today that are just, for me, they're examples of how the, at one point, sort of, I guess, the propagandist, if you will, for lockdowns and mask up everybody, and not even just like, hey, we need to be having masks and people should be getting shots, but actively going after people who didn't, saying like, hey, those people might need to be restricted. Those people, you know, might not be, shouldn't be allowed to travel. They shouldn't be allowed to work, all those kinds of things, right? A lot of those folks now seem to be reversing course, which is pretty interesting. It's odd. I'm not sure why, but let's go ahead and check into it. I'm picking this up from Information Liberation. They sometimes do some interesting reports here. And this one's titled Narrative Shift: Democrats Slam Trump for Rushing COVID Shot Without Enough Safety Data. Democrats on Wednesday released a new report attacking Trump for pressuring the FDA to, quote, authorize unproven treatments for COVID-19 and approve the first COVID vaccines before the election without collecting enough safety data. And what this person's opinion here is basically trying to outline how they believe that now the Democrats are taking the approach, maybe because they are concerned that Trump is increasing the, it's getting closer and closer to his inevitable at this point announcement that he's running for 2024, that perhaps they're looking for new ammo against him in addition to, you know, the recent raid in Mar-a-Lago and building cases against him. This seems to just be another attack. So House Democrats come together and they release a report. And they say that they found, this was reported by Politico, excuse me, they said that the Trump White House again exerted pressure on the FDA for the emergency use, which the reason I'm noting this is not only because it's curious and we'll see where it goes, but because, again, these same people last two years in 2020 were just clamoring for, like, oh my God, we need to get the vaccines as soon as possible. It's, you know, what we have to do this. And this was the one thing that they actually did, the media actually did praise Trump for. Saying like, well, he really came through on the shot and the vaccine and whatnot. And of course, Trump is the mastermind behind Operation Warp Speed, which in his own words, he bragged many, many times about getting it approved so quickly. And I think that, I don't know if they have a legal case, but they do have a case as far as, like, let me just scroll down here in this article. You can find dozens and dozens of videos of Trump kind of bragging about the shots and how quickly he was able to get them out and how quickly he put pressure on the FDA. He's like, if I had come in there and said something, we could have done it even faster. And he said here at one point, if we had waited for more data and Democrats were in charge, so that's just from the report. But yeah, they're basically just criticizing him of being the big pusher of the vaccine, because that's still something that Trump touts, even though a lot of his base really are not people who support the shot, who support it anyway. But now the Democrats are coming out with this report and basically saying that he moved too fast after, I know everybody was clamoring for, let's get this shot as soon as possible. And anybody who, Micah, 2 years ago or in the last year and a half said that the shots were rushed, what were we told? No, it wasn't. There's no, don't get confused by the name Warp Speed. They were not rushed in any way. This was tried and tested, 95% effective and blah, blah, all the stuff we heard. And oh, it was perfect. But now it just blows my mind. And I'm not saying that the things they're accusing the Trump administration.
You hated science if you said they were rushed or
exactly
conspiracy theorist or something. Now you're just good.
Yeah, now it's okay to say that because it's an attack on Trump. So just to give a little more examples, it says that Trump pressured the FDA commissioner, Stephen Hahn, former commissioner, to authorize unproven treatments for COVID and the first COVID vaccines on an accelerated timeline, according to this report. They also say that Trump officials fought for the reauthorization of hydroxychloroquine after the FDA revoked its emergency clearance. The investigation also shows that potential influence from former White House officials regarding the FDA's decision to authorize plasma and White House attempts to block the FDA from collecting additional safety data on COVID shots in order to get them to the public before the 2020 presidential election. So again, like at the time, it was this great accomplishment. How dare you even challenge the idea that the shots are not good for everybody? Everybody needs to take one without question. How dare you? You know, you're a conspiracy theorist. Now it's like, oh my God, wait, let's try to take that away from Trump. You know, which I don't even think it's an accomplishment to be proud of, but you know, that to him is like one of his big things, is he can claim that. And again, I think he's reading the tea leaves wrong, because his people are massively against the shot. You know, like, I don't know many Trump supporters who think that Trump promoting the vaccine is one of his finer moments, you know. But it's just, yeah, it's just interesting and a little bit 1984-ish, Micah, is kind of what I feel like sometimes. It's like we were always at war with East Asia. No, the shots were always rushed. We never said they weren't rushed. They were always rushed.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a good one. And I think saying 1984-ish is probably the best way. It creates a strange feeling. I don't think it's like any other emotion to be like, whoa, that curve. It's almost like flipping upside down on a roller coaster or something, because that's what it feels like. It feels like these people, they become topsy-turvy in clown world, you know. They just say anything, and a year later, and it's like we said, you know, the stuff that's forbidden speech and shortly thereafter is breaking news. The stuff that was wrong to say is all of a sudden right to say. And look how fast it's happening.
Yeah, it's such a trip. It's so weird to see how this all evolves. Let's check out a couple comments, guys. We're live across Odyssey, YouTube, Rockfin, Facebook. If you're commenting, you're listening, or if you're watching, listening on KPFT, you can go to our website. You can always send us a message through the contact page and share your comments and thoughts, and we'll read them on air. I've got a couple comments here. Trump never made anyone take the Democrats and media tried to force us to take the jab. I guess this guy is still arguing in defense of Trump from what it sounds like he's saying. Like, okay, well, he didn't make us take it. He just put all the resources and all the money and the funding to rush it and make it happen. But the Democrats and the media were the one pushing it. I mean, okay. Yeah, interesting.
I hate to think of myself jumping in, but on the sake of what's that, the principle of charity, it's that I think he's saying that it was the worldview of that, okay, he rushed it and all that. And I guess the guy's willing to acquiesce that. Trump rushed it and everything, but Trump never made anyone take the jab, right? See what I'm saying? And then the word made makes sense with force, right? Because he says force in the latter half. And then he accuses the Democrats and the media of trying to force us to take the jab. And I don't know how much validity there is to the statement, but I do feel like there was a lot more urgency to take the jab coming from the media than I ever heard Trump say, American people, you really need to take this. So I, you know, principle of charity makes me see it in that light.
I think that might be accurate, but I think this other comment that just came in from Daryl Ernst is also a good reminder that Trump has stated several times that the shot was the greatest achievement of his administration. Like, clearly he thinks that's his shining moment. And what's interesting, just to kind of add a couple more points to this before we go to that song from Kim Jong-un, is in the last week, Alex Jones, who obviously was, for those who remember, Jones was a huge supporter of Trump and probably helped get Trump elected, because Trump went on to Alex Jones' show before the 2016 election, and he gave him like a pretty just like outright, he's like, I trust you, Alex, you're a great guy and this and that. And then Jones told Trump, like, all right, well, we're going to put all our weight behind you. You know, don't disappoint us. He's like, I won't disappoint you. So anyways, and in the last week before this report came out, actually, Alex Jones started putting out videos saying that he no longer supports Donald Trump and that he's going to go for support Ron DeSantis from Florida. It's all political drama, soap opera stuff. But what I think is interesting is just that shift is what the InfoWars and Alex Jones audience represent if they are shifting away from Trump. And it was specifically Jones was saying, because you keep touting the shot, you keep touting this vaccine and claiming that it's not harming anybody, it's perfectly safe and all these kinds of things that we clearly know are not true at this point. So it's interesting, even within the Trump community, Trump supporting community, maybe even those who don't like Trump but don't support the Democrats and don't want the shot, there's some division of thought there. It's always interesting to check that out. But we're going to go to a song in just a second. I just want to remind everybody you can find our work at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. And remember, we are partnering with the Live Free Academy all this month to promote their homesteading on a budget workshop. You can check that out at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Click on our banner there. You can register now and get details about that. You can sign up and learn from all these awesome permaculture teachers next week, September 3rd.
I thought of this in a different light also, because you've been speaking about it. And a lot of my friends that I know, they have some setup, right? They have a little bit of land or they have something. And I was thinking, you know, if you support other people being able to learn about this, it might be something that even if you didn't need to know, that you felt others needed to know. And so you contributed for someone else to go. Maybe you send a friend to go or you just register if you wanted, you know, and contribute. This is kind of like what I saw they were talking about was happening in one of these war zones where people were just getting like Airbnb rooms so that the money would go straight to the people. So, you know, even if it's just something you want to support, like I said about what we speak about here, if you want to support what we speak about, contribute kpft.org. If you want to support this, exit and build, contribute, you know, send someone, you know, maybe you don't need it yourself. Maybe you've been reading this and practicing it for 20 years already for all we know, but nonetheless, anyway, I know we're going to get to some music. Ain't that right?
Yeah, we're going to hit a song now, guys. You're listening to Live Free, Think Free. We'll be right back. This is On Your Own 2 Feet from Kim Jong-un.
Yep. Right?
Yep. All right, we'll be right back.
A mosquito in a fossil. Science gone hostile. Not that tree saps in fall. You just hadn't the thought.
All right, Kim Jong-un can be heard at Meltfest September 3rd and here on KPFT. And it's one of the amazing things that we've managed to do with this show over the last 10, 11 years is just share a plethora of good music from Houston to Australia and beyond. So, yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely. Cool. I enjoyed that one. That was cool. All right, guys, let's get back at it. You're listening to Live Free, Think Free. Got a couple of stories to cover here today. This is going to continue what we were just talking about before the song, the trend of certain people coming out. And again, there's nothing wrong with I don't want the impression to be that I'm complaining that it's wrong or bad for people to change their opinions or to adjust their views. You know, that's I think should be, in fact, commended, especially when in our, I think, internet age of discussion and debate and arguing and all that kind of just everything comes with it. There might be some resistance for people admitting when they're wrong or if their opinions change and things of that sort. So it should be, I think, celebrated to some degree when somebody says, hey, my opinion is updated, et cetera. So I don't want to come away with like I'm downing that or just thinking that you can't do that. That's not at all the case. But I do think that we should still at the same time be critical of certain people who pushed so hard for certain policies. And in this case, I'm talking about Dr. Leanna Wynne, who we've covered on this show over the last year. She's a very well-known mainstream doctor who yes, was embracing the masks, the mandates, and not just that. I'll show in just a moment how extreme she got. But just this week, she published this opinion piece of the Washington Post called "I'm a Doctor. Here's Why My Kids Won't Wear Masks This School Year." And it, you know, it's her just doing a little opinion piece about that. Again, coming from the place of like a believer, not like somebody who is a quote unquote anti-vaxxer, anti-masker. And so I just wanted to read a few choice quotes from this article, Micah, and get your thoughts on it. She says, "I began trying to think of the coronavirus," and this is like her waking up now. She's like, okay, after everything, she says her kids who are 2 and 5 years old, which whatever, she says they've received the shots. Even though they have extremely low risk and that they've, you know, they did all the precautions, et cetera. But she's come to a point now where, like many people were saying at the beginning, like even the Great Barrentine Declaration way back in the beginning, were saying we need to learn to live with this thing. You know, there's no real health policy trying to just think you can get rid of every case or, you know, put people inside or mask up or spray everything down and all this kind of hysteria. And so now Leanna Wynn is kind of coming around to that same position. And so she says, "I began trying to think of coronavirus as I do other everyday risk, such as falls, car accidents, or drowning. Of course, I want to shield my children from injuries, and I take precautions such as using car seats and teaching them how to swim. By the same logic, I vaccinated them against coronavirus, but I won't put their childhood on hold in an effort to eliminate all risk." And again, I'm glad you've come to this position at this point, but it's definitely come to this place after forcing everybody else, or at least promoting the government to, and doing what she can in a policy position to encourage that, to encourage the U.S. government, the CDC, to, you know, think in those terms of guidelines of like, yes, all children should be masked, schools should be shut down, virtual, people should not be able to travel if they're unvaccinated, things of that sort. So she's having a change of heart. So a couple others. She says also, quote, "I accept the risk that my kids will probably contract COVID-19 this school year, just as they could contract the flu, respiratory virus, and other contagious diseases. As for most Americans, COVID in our family will almost certainly be mild. And like most Americans, we've made the decision that following precautions strict enough to prevent the highly contagious BA5 will be very challenging. Mask," and then this is where, you know, the big part that some people are attacking her, even her previous supporters who loved her for speaking out against those crazy anti-masker and anti-vaxxers are kind of attacking her for this line. "Masking has harmed our son's language development, and limiting both kids' extracurriculars and social interactions would negatively affect their childhood and hinder mine and my husband's ability to work." So once again, now she wants people to feel a little bit sympathetic to her. Like, I'm sorry, your son's language development has been hindered. This is something that we've talked about here on this show. We're not scientists, but there have been studies warning about this since the beginning, putting the masks on the kids' faces and how they're going to be able to interpret emotions and all kinds of different things. And then, of course, keeping them away from other people and social interactions. And she wants us to feel negative, you know, bad, because this would negatively affect not only her childhood, her kids' childhood, but keep her and her husband from being able to work the way they want to. And then her final thoughts, Micah, and then I'd love to hear yours. She says, "My approach to school this year reflects the evolution of the pandemic and the acknowledgement that avoiding COVID-19 cannot be the singular metric of people's overall health and well-being." And I feel like that line right there, Micah, is something that people, you know, like, I know I have, and I'm sure others who've listened to the show feel that way, have been trying to say that, like, you can't, like, avoiding COVID-19 can't be your only focus when it comes to health. Like, there's so many other things to worry about and be concerned about, like people's other conditions, the comorbidities and their diet and all that kind of stuff. So I have a couple more I want to show you, Micah, because the Wall Street Journal editorial board responded and some other people, you know, she's getting backlash now from haters. But what do you think about this just in general? Like I said, I'm not trying to attack her because she's changing.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I think it's important. I kind of think it's like almost redundant that you had to have such a lead in on it to explain that. But I see why, you know, because We do need to be critical of people that just seem wishy-washy versus a real, you know, once you recognize you've given the wrong treatment, you prescribe a different treatment, right? You stop what you've been doing that's wrong. I mean, that's what any doctor would do. So I think what's underlying here is whatever phenomena it was, like I kept saying during COVID, that traumatized so many people to have such a radical, almost like a knee-jerk radical reaction to it. And I mean, how did they get there so quickly? Is this a social phenomenon? So that we don't do this again, so that we don't make our children have language impairments and all these negative things. So we don't collapse businesses so that, you know, I mean, who knows what the effects of the next knee-jerk emotional herd reaction will deliver us. I don't know, but I feel like there's something to that is maybe trying to understand why we thought the first opinion was okay. You know, maybe like it's not so much studying the individual event like COVID-19 as much as studying perhaps if the doctors could, the people who changed their minds, the people who have changed their hearts and recognize how it was limited, you know, maybe to figure out how they got caught up in that fervor and how was it, you know, how was their decision that these things had to be done? And maybe even to the point where we saw in poor Australia where people were, you know, sent to mandatory COVID camps, right? Mandatory voluntary COVID camps, right? We even hit that one where they escaped from the mandatory voluntary COVID camp. But I mean, that sounds pretty extreme and I'm laughing a little bit, but I'm serious about this whole thing. I feel like it points to something new in our cultural phenomena that isn't really that new. We've been moved as masses many times, don't you think, through history? And I think that maybe when they have such drastic effects on our lives as this last one did, maybe we could start trying to understand what that is. What is that? What causes that? Or how? What kind of people are susceptible to that? Or how can I not be susceptible to that? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's part of like the conversation that we shared a couple of weeks ago with Professor Matthias Desmet about his theories on mass formation, right? Like trying to, there's so many people I think now who are 2 years into this and trying to understand like, how do my brilliant aunt, uncle, brother, sister, husband, wife, et cetera, you know, fall for whatever particular narrative they think they might've fallen for, you know, and just very intelligent people who swept up in this. And then there's some people who maybe just, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to explain it. I don't know if we have the time for that, but I do want to show a couple more in response to Leanna Nguyen. Again, she wrote this opinion piece saying, I'm a doctor. My kids aren't wearing school anymore. My son's language development was hurt. And then Wall Street Journal editorial board responds with they called it the cancellation of Leanna Nguyen. Woe to someone who changes their mind about COVID mandates. And just kind of, again, sharing the story that she's now being attacked by certain people who were defenders of her. They wrote, Dr. Nguyen, a CNN commentator who was once a defender of government and vaccine mask mandates, but last fall she opined that, just as recently as last fall, she opined that Biden admins vaccine mandates didn't go far enough. She said, quote, why didn't Biden announce he will mandate vaccinations for plane and train travel? But her columns in the recent months have sung a new COVID tune, encouraging governments to drop mask mandates and embrace individual responsibility, which is what some of us have argued all along. But no political epiphany goes unpunished. And now more than 600 activists are demanding that the American Public Health Association cancel her as a panelist at a conference this autumn. So she's supposed to speak at an event, and more than 600 activists have gotten upset enough to like put together a petition saying, you know, she shouldn't be allowed there. And we'll get to that in just a second. I want to show that because I think it's actually hilarious, Michael, when you look at what she's supposed to speak at and what's happening.
But it's interesting you say activists got upset with her rather than like doctors or, you know.
No, it's just like, it's the crazy, I don't want to use that word, but it's people who I think have gone into a bit of hysteria who are like, even if the doctor's like, hey guys, it's over. We don't need to do that anymore. Some people are so bought in that they're like, no, now we'll turn on you. Even though, yeah, it's so anyways, but just to give you some examples of why I'm not really that, you know, that sympathetic or crying for Leanna Nguyen. Here's her opinion piece for the Washington Post from July 2021. It's time for Biden to make the case for vaccine requirements. That was one of hers. Then she was on Wolf Blitzer saying that the Biden administration needs to, you know, commit further. Being vaccinated is not just about individual choice, she said. Now, even though, of course, now she's arguing for individual choice. There's another one where she's going on Wolf Blitzer saying, if you're vaccinated, it also matters whether the people around you are vaccinated, and just calling for more measures. I got this one, too. She says, speaking soon with CNN to increase COVID vaccinations, we need to make being vaccinated the easy choice and being unvaccinated the hard one. There should be vaccine requirements at more workplaces. Those opting out need, say, twice weekly testing. You know, she's just like putting out her proclamations for what we should all be subjected to.
I remember that one.
Yeah, and so this is her, you know, so it's like, okay, she's now coming out, and again, maybe she did finally wake up to the real science and she's speaking out. She's being attacked, but this is interesting. So she was supposed to speak this fall at the American Public Health Association. Now she's being attacked by certain people. It's like backlash. She was, and the thing is, she was invited to speak specifically about her experience being criticized and, you know, what they view as attacked by vaccine skeptics, mask mandate opponents, and COVID deniers. So they wanted her to come there and share about her experience being attacked by those people. And then now she's getting backlash from, you know, quote unquote, her community saying we shouldn't have her there. They're calling her unscientific, unsafe, ableist, fat phobic, and unethical. So that's what the petition says, saying that she suggested that infection should be accepted as a new normal. And yeah, they're just losing it over this. So it's just, I don't know. It's just interesting. But nonetheless, the reason I thought all that was just worth mentioning is because of the changing of opinions, the changing of the conversation. You know, like I was saying before the song, a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, it was great that these vaccines were out. And if you said that they were anything like rushed or that any procedure didn't get properly followed or that any time was shaved off to get them to us any sooner, that was insane. We all know that the actual research started way back then when they first started developing mRNA. That was honestly what I, you know, when I saw these fact sheets, this is how that when COVID deniers tell you, or if your cousin who doesn't want the shot tells you, well, they haven't been tested long enough. This is false. Tell them that, you know, the mRNA vaccines were actually developed on some previous technology. And they had this whole explanation for why that was BS. But now the Democrats are putting out this report going after the Trump administration. Not that I care about Trump. But, you know, making that same argument that it's like rushed and it's just, and then someone like Leanna Wynn can just flip and say, hey, now I'm not going to mask my kids and this might hurt kids. Whenever, you know, regular people like us are dissecting these stories and reporting on that for the last year and a half. And it's just, it's mind numbing, but it, you know, it's reality.
I have a couple of thoughts. I think it's interesting. One of the buzzwords, so one of the little phrases that kept popping up in one of the past ones you were covering was the relation to individual choice, right? And perhaps that's what we need to think about here in the view of these herd reaction events, is they all seem willing to just trample all over individual choice. And maybe there's a point at which you, when you, if it's something that about which you're ready to put a law on someone else that isn't actively violating you, maybe that's one of those things where you could question it, you know, like question, what am I doing here? Okay, say there is this horrible thing of with this person's presence, if they don't have this happen to them, therefore we're going to force this to happen to them. Well, can we let them just be present in their own environment somehow? I mean, like, how far do we have to go to eradicate individual choice in every one of these herd reactive scenarios? I think that's the thing that's up against the ropes. And that's the thing that I think is the crux of the issue. You know, you see it in all kinds of horrific regimes, right? Individual choice is what's thrown out the window and you will get in line. And I think that's what we're talking about here. So it's really hard to really see a change of heart and believe it sometimes, but I can see why someone would be misguided by empirical data, like studying a disease and thinking what might be and having to make the quick reaction. So I don't want to become such an ideologue that I no longer recognize that, yeah, people can make mistakes and change their mind and have all kinds of factors. But at the same time, I think that's the crux of it. You know, when you're ready to override individual choice, you better have some real good proof, you know, some real good arguments like, you know, he's got a gun. I mean, come on.
No, I feel you on that. And guys, you're listening to Live Free, Think Free here on 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network. We do this every week as we have been for the last decade. You can find us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Find our archives there on the website. If you're on Spotify or pretty much most podcasting apps, you can find us under Live Free, Think Free. And you'll find our show archive if you want to check us out. And as Micah said earlier, send us music if you got it. We got less than 10 minutes with you. Micah, I know you got a couple. I got one I really want to mention, but I'm going to hold that off. You want to jump into you got some really important stuff here to mention.
All this sounds good. Let me just run for a minute. We'll start with the UN that you were mentioning there. And I mostly was bringing this up because it's just – more of, you know, who knows what's exactly real, but according to the World Food Program, and this is the main thing I wanted out of this from the UN official, that 50 million people across 45 countries are already on the verge of famine. 50 million people, okay? Another 345 million. Notice that number is like almost seven times that first number. Are approaching starvation in across more than 80 countries. And it turns out that that's a 25% increase just from the start of the year. And then, you know, we've been talking about the food shortages. We see this happening. We've talked about Bill Gates. And now we see, you know, this isn't from, you know, what do you call it? I don't know, Alex Jones or something like this. This is right here from Yahoo Finance, and it's basically got this headline: Bill Gates likely saw food shortages coming years ago. Why his land accumulation feels calculated? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you knew there was going to be food shortages and you had extra money, you could invest in ways to deliver food, right? And that it makes sense, and I understand what they're saying. Basically, their whole argument is if you followed his pattern, you too could make money. But let's get beyond that and some other facts that are in the article. The UN officials released a statement this week that said food shortages were going from bad to worse, and that's what we were just talking about a minute ago. And they basically blamed Russia's invasion of Ukraine and climate emergencies. Just it goes on and on. There's lots of different factors. And one of the current state of affairs in India is really severe. And we've heard about Sri Lanka as well. Experienced unprecedented heat. India banned wheat exports just a few months ago. The UN had warned similar. Think about that. No more wheat exports out of India. The UN had warned similar conditions are likely to decrease crop production by 30%. That's going to be serious. And according to the World Food Program, and we got the same numbers again, right? 50 million people across 40 on the verge of famine, and 350 to endure near starvation conditions. I mean, that's horrific. Climate change, and they go on to speak more about that. But it turns out that all these different things have been on Bill Gates' radar for some time, because he's invested $10 billion in global health in 2019, which our author argues is a smart move, because making vaccines more accessible creates a 20-to-1 return. 20-to-1. His foresight is uncanny. And had you mimicked his investment pattern, you probably would have made money too. Just because you don't have $10 billion doesn't mean that you can't do and have.
Mike, I'm gonna stop you there. We're almost out of time in just a moment. But I just wanted to comment on that. I see we got a couple comments here to throw in. But so were you first saying, like, they're talking about him acquiring the land? As many people know, he's become one of the largest landowners in the United States ahead of time. And so this is kind of saying, like, hey, maybe it's just his business insight. You know, he saw these food shortages. Yeah. I also want to point out, though, his other investments include companies like the Impossible Burger and Beyond Burger. He's one of these advocates for not eating meat, even though he still eats meat.
And that's the same thing. That's exactly where I'm going with this story, because it turns out that concerns were shared earlier this month by Will Harris, and their family has owned a farm for 150 years, basically, through their family. His concerns range from an overuse of technology to misplaced blame on animals and the focus on plant-based protein. Most alarming was his reference to Gates' attempts to influence agricultural systems in India and Africa and their perceived failures. So,
There's some good reporting out there as well on from the Navdanya International, I think is the name of it. It's Vandana Shiva's organization. She put out this this report. It's actually a pretty 200-page report, maybe, called Gates to Hell or something like that. And it just shows all the different areas that Bill Gates' foundations have invested in. And that does include farming in India and other places. So I think that story probably has more significance than maybe it might initially seem. I just got one more to mention while we're at it. I just want to make the time to share it with our audience here on Live Free, Think Free on KPFT. I've been working on this story for the last month now, and we just this week at The Last American Vagabond published it. It's a two-part investigation. There'll be a third part published within the next day or so. And this started just briefly with my talking about, if you guys remember, those who've been listening the whole summer, we've been talking about this story out in Utah where the Utah Sheriff's Office said that they were investigating ritualized child sexual abuse, which was like what the heck does that mean? It set off a bunch of alarm bells, and I've been following that story for now the last 3 months. That led me to investigating claims of sexual abuse in Utah and then claims of sexual abuse inside the Mormon Church in Utah. And I had quite a bit of people reach out, sending their stories, personal stories, anecdotes, things they heard, things they witnessed in relation to both Utah and the church specifically. And so that ended up leading to this two-part investigation where a woman sent me a video that hasn't been viewed in almost 30 years, a documentary made in the late 80s, early 90s about former Mormon president, now deceased, Gordon B. Hinckley, and accusations against him involving prostitutes, involving young boys, and things of that sort. So I started to investigate this documentary, trying to contact everybody who has mentioned the documentary, everybody who spoke in the documentary, everybody related to it. Most people have since deceased, but I was able to corroborate the story and find another man who is connected to this whole story. It's more than we can say in 4 or 5 minutes, but the reason I'm mentioning it is because I've been working hard on this, and even though these are sometimes disturbing stories, they are stories that we cover here on Live Free, Think Free because we think that they matter, not only because the victim stories matter, but because people in positions of power take advantage of children, whether it's at the baseball, the baseball coach, the pastor, the priest, the politician, the school cop, the teacher. We've shown countless examples. And it's not even just the Mormon Church. We've talked about the Southern Baptist Church, the Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, and yes, the Mormon Church as well recently. So I encourage you to please go check this out at The Last American Vagabond. You can find it. It's called Justice Delayed, an Investigation into Gordon B. Hinckley and Walton Hunter. I also spoke with former Bishop Walton Hunter's daughters who accuse him of rape. These are two grown women who are sharing their experience now as grown women. And these people are dead or deceased, so some might ask, what does it matter? Who cares? But the victims, some of them are still alive, and some of them are still suffering. And some of the people who helped cover these things up within the church and without the church, or who knew and did nothing, are also still alive. And I think those kinds of things matter. And at the very least, that the public should be made aware of these stories and this information so that you, because this is what our show has always been about, encouraging you to live free, think free. We believe in freedom of thought. We believe in you being able to critically think and form your own opinions. So the church made an effort to smother this documentary called The True Story About Gordon B. Hinckley back in the 90s. It's never been uploaded to the internet, and we just uploaded it for the first time this week. And I think people deserve to have a look themselves and make up their own minds what they think about it. And again, it's really about trying to honor some of the victims that I have got to meet and people who suffered, and unfortunately churches and other people in positions of authorities who did nothing and let the abuse continue. But that's where we're going to end it. That's my story. Check it out, Justice Delayed at thelastamericanvagabond.com. I think we're just about out of time. Our website is, again, thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Check us out there if you want to support us. You can go to the Homesteading on a Budget workshop, sign up there, learn a whole lot, support us through that, or go to kpft.org and make a donation. Micah, what do you want to leave us with?
Hummingbirds are all over Houston, by the way. There's articles out about it if you want to read about them, learn about them. They're all over Houston migrating to Mexico, and they slow down to get fat and eat all the food here to hit the road to go down there and see you, Derek. So I hope you get to see some as well. I hope everyone has a good week.
Hummingbirds. All right, guys. Till next time. Remember, you are free. Peace. We'll be back.
You made a lot of money out of your music?
More than.
I mean, what? How much is a lot for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. And have you made, say, millions of dollars?
No.
I feel it in my